Richard, has this situation helped you or hurt you professionally? You know, behavioral scientist, anthropologist, you've got more titles than I can even announce. I mean, where does that stand for you?
You mean going public with this Starnation's information?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you, I've had a couple of repercussions since I've gotten this information and started putting it out. Very shortly after I got this information, my wife and I went on a little trip, and someone sabotaged one of the rear tires on our truck. So we were tooling along about 75 miles an hour in the interstate down in Southern California, out in the desert, and one tire was empty. Luckily, we had duals on the rear axle, and tire was totally shredded, but the other one held the weight, and we didn't careen off the highway into the side.
My God, Richard, you could have gotten killed if you had a single tire.
Yeah, yeah, definitely could have rolled. Then we've had some other stuff happen, too. But that was the most dramatic. And of course, a lot of hate mail from the operatives who work for the cabal don't want this out and do intimidation stuff. And some of my team colleagues, Frank and Wendy, Marja, you know, have had similar stuff too. They use psychotronics and even kind of psychic outreach. Some of the stuff sounds pretty bizarre, but where a person can sit in one place and send negative energy that shows up somewhere else and disturbs the person, causes them discomfort or pain or all kinds of turbulent feelings, you know, while they're asleep or awake. This stuff's been done to other members of the team, men in black kind of things, intimidation stuff. One person, their place of work has been staked out, and these guys very obviously make themselves known so that she's intimidated, or at least they're trying to get her intimidated. She's a pretty tough gal. You know, we understand that there's this thing has more importance than our personal comfort or even safety. The Earth and the human society literally hangs in the balance, and this word has to get out. And people are making the decisions to take the chances to get it out.
Well, let's go to the phones. So, Richard, everybody's stacking up for you. Let's go to our first wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Blair in Sedona, Arizona.
Hey, Blair. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, sir. Dr. Boylan, what you're talking about, if you take the premise that this is an experimental planet, you know, whereupon so-called good and evil are placed on what you might call an even playing field, you could put your star people in with Keys of Enoch, Urantia, George Adamski. And what I'm trying to say is these contacts and propositions like this will continue with probably more or less success until, as Buckminster Fuller says, a critical mass of free will, decision-making mortals is reached, and then us Earthlings will indeed move up a level. Don't you agree?
Well, there's certainly the critical mass needs to happen, and I think is happening, and I think the seeding of the star kids and the star seeds among us in such numbers are part of energizing that. I don't want to put the whole effort in their lap, because other humans of goodwill are also needed and are making contributions here. It's a matter of consciousness, and once people wake up that this is important and needs to happen and needs to happen now, then we will be at that critical mass. And I would certainly agree that we are right on the edge of an uptick in our social evolution, if you will.
Okay, thank you for that call, Blair. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. Welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
This is Mike calling from Auburn, Washington, and I'd like to have ask a question of Richard.
Sure.
Richard, with these things that you feel or this information that you get, one thing that's always kind of intrigued me is I've heard about all these secret deals done between both the U.S. government and other heads of government of the planet Earth with these other alien races. And one of the things that I would want to do if I was one of these heads of government, for better or for worse, is, you know, the best way to hang on to power is to live longer and live healthier. You hear of these people like, reportedly like Dick Cheney and Dwight Eisenhower that supposedly have contact with these aliens, having bad hearts and all that stuff. If I were one of those guys, I would go up to him and say, you know, hey, could you please fix my heart as part of this deal? That's what I would do. Have you ever heard of any kind of deal like that? Or, you know, can you make my relatives live longer and healthier?
I haven't heard of such deal. At that point, Star Nations would not have been doing, you know, individualistic efforts like that. They tend to operate race-wise, you know, with the whole human race's advancement. I know Colonel Donald Laird told me that the reason Lawrence Rockefeller was, and he was in on these meetings and spent a lot of money trying to learn everything he could about the Star Nations, was that he hoped he would get the secret to longevity. Well, he lived to a pretty old age, but he eventually died recently, and the irony is that now that the agreement that he and his brother and some of the others put together has been ruled invalid, and that kind of cabal nonsense has been swept out of the way, there's room for a new agreement, and one of the task forces is going to be to move ahead with medical technology, which I imagine will involve extending human lifespan in a healthy way. I don't know that anybody has gotten a special deal out of this on an individual basis. I think what's happening to some of the individuals you've mentioned is karma coming home to roost, but no special deals that I've been informed of.
I see. Have you heard of any kind of specific health-related issues or any kind of health-related help that's actually been passed down that we know of that may be disguised as a medical advancement or something like that that might have come, say, you know, why did polio disappear? Why have certain diseases disappeared? Could this possibly have something to do with these alien races, or did they just kind of die out on their own?
Well, I know that the star races have, on their own, volunteered huge amounts of information in areas that the cabal have not been able to turn to weapons, things like advances in medicine and communications and electronics and certainly astronomy, cellular biology, and so forth. And I, without being able to point to any specific advance that human scientists have announced, it's pretty clear that this seeding of information and its filtering up from the government scientists to spread out into the broader human community has happened, and we've had breathtaking advances in science and technology, just to mention two areas, over the last 50 years, more than we have in the last 500, perhaps the last 5,000. And we will see more of this.
Of all these species, Richard, the Zetas seem to be the most benevolent. Is that a pretty good assumption?
Well, I wouldn't say the most benevolent. All the star nations are well-intentioned. The Zetas are the most frequently encountered because they're here doing the most work, and you know, with the genetic upgrading and a lot of the communications work, frankly, they're some of the heroes of the star nations. They're coming in under a heavy fire situation and taking great risks to make all these contacts. and they're the one people see the most often. They're certainly loving and well-intentioned beings. So are the reptoids, so are the praying mantis, so are the humanoids and others out there. I can't say that, you know, I would pick favorites in that. They're all here on a kind of, what shall we say, a Peace Corps kind of mission to Earth, and take pride and a sense of spiritual advancement and honorable duty in doing so.
Do they believe in God? Did they ever say that?
Oh, yes, absolutely. They put it more in terms of source, supreme source, if you will. But that's, you know, a way of conceptualizing God, but very much so, and that's the basis of the what these 11 universal laws and 11 spiritual laws are grounded in, is part of the truth that source and its unfolding in all of creation. That's the way things are organized, principles of free will and freedom of man, and laws of movement and balance of choice and light and karma, and all of these are just attributes of the consciousness of God, if you will, manifesting in the universe in which we find ourselves.
East of the Rockies, hello to you.
Hi, George. How you doing tonight?
Good, sir. Thank you.
Dr. Boylan, how are you?
Good evening.
I've got a few questions for you here. You stated several times of these people being here on a mission and having an agenda. Other than their helping us with our medical fields or our earth care, what is their true mission? If they've got 59% of our population as extraterrestrial beings, sounds to me like they're trying to take over.
Well, I already indicated what their true mission is. The 59% are not extraterrestrial beings. They are humans. All of us have got, can't have and go, will go through many reincarnations over our course as a consciousness, personality, from time to time, life to life, and in many cases from planet to planet. And but when a person's in a given incarnation, they are that species of that planet. And when a person incarnates on Earth, they are a human, regardless of their previous history of incarnations elsewhere or not. And the same with the star kids, star seeds. They have some few proportionately extraterrestrial genetics to upgrade consciousness and abilities, but the basic genome is human. It has not been transmogrified into something else. I also think we need to put this whole question into a much larger and accurate perspective in terms of the origin of the human race. Every single person on Earth is a hybrid two times over before the modern era of star nations contact. By that I mean the entire human race was bioengineered from primate stock around 325,000 years ago. Homo sapiens emerging with no immediate precursor. One of the mysteries of anthropology, until you recognize the star nation intervention, and then after giving that about 125,000 years of seeing how it worked out, humans were still too aggressive and territorial, and so they did a genetic upgrade to Homo sapiens, sapiens, modern human. And now in the last several decades, they decided a bit more upgrading is needed so that we don't blow ourselves up, and now we have Homo alterius spatialis, or starseed, but still human.
Okay, Joe, you there?
Yes.
Okay, any more follow-up?
Well, it just puzzles me that if they don't have a mission or an agenda to take over, then why don't they go to a large, like a CNN or some kind of conglomerate that controls the airways and just present themselves to the world? And instead of just to one human that they know is going to get ridiculed and questioned and drug over the coals, why don't they show themselves?
Well, they're not here to do a cultural meltdown on people's consciousness. It's been a gradual preparation of people for this. I'm not the only person who's been contacted. There have been millions of people all over the earth. I would say tens and probably more accurately hundreds of millions of people who have been contacted by the visitors in either direct physical contacts or out-of-body contacts when the person's consciousness goes somewhere and has an encounter. And people have been communicated with. They've been told some of the messages I've indicated. They've been shown scenes of the future as kind of warnings of what will happen to Earth if we don't change our ways and turn things around. The fact that the UFO cover-up has kept the lid on this in the general media, except for, you know, wonderful places like George Noory Show and some of the UFO magazines, the things where the stuff leaks out, doesn't make it any less real. The hundreds of millions of people that have been contacted, there's a general consensus of what communications they get, and it is about what I've been talking about in terms of why they're here and what we need to do to change and how Earth's in peril and how we can have a very wonderful future if we get our act together. So you know, I'm not just Paul Revere here yelling the redcoats are coming, and people have to believe or not. They need to pull their neighbors out of the closet. There are so many people out there who are just quietly sitting on the information that they've had a contact, they've seen a UFO up close, or one of their relatives has. If everybody came out of the closet, the UFO cover-up would be over tomorrow.
Stay with us. We'll be back with Dr. Richard Boylan and your final phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. If you'd like to reach his website, there are two related websites. They are linked at coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to Coast with our final segment with Dr. Richard Boylan. Richard, what's next on your plate these days, by the way?
Well, I'm kind of in this area. So much has happened in the last several weeks that I'm kind of holding myself mentally open for further developments. I expect as the Star Nations collate all the human input that they're getting from people around the world, that they don't have the basic ingredients for a new understanding, and I imagine at some point they'll be putting out of information about that. I don't have any foreguess of what that will be at this point, but kind of standing by for that. I know it will happen. And then as the new understanding comes into place and into effect, it's going to have some implications. We talked about the joint teams that would get set up. I got to think that this is going to change some of the political homeostasis of human society currently, because in a sense both the Star Nations and the grassroots humans are going around these corrupt governments and taking care of business despite them, and this is going to have some very interesting implications for people that are used to having governments say how it's going to be and going to find themselves undercut by this process. There's also, of course, the Star Kid and Starseed mission I'm on of continuing to do talks and Star Kid, Starseed workshops and gatherings of people to kind of explain this phenomenon, wake people up to their true inner nature. Many Star Kids, Star Seeds kind of half suspect they're different but don't have the whole story, so we try and go around and lay it all out so they can come to understand themselves. By the way, if any of your listeners are suspecting they may be such, I have a very handy online questionnaire that they can take and kind of score themselves and find out if they are a Star Seed or Star Kid. It's the Star Kid, Star Seed Identification Questionnaire.
I did that from your website, and I think I may be one. Remember we talked about
that? Yeah, well, you know, the number is just very straightforward. If you cross the threshold number, then you are. Also have a very interesting other aspect on there, too. One of the aspects of Star Kids and Star Seeds is the bioelectromagnetic field that extends around the bodies of all living things and humans.
Sure.
Is much farther out for Star Kids and Star Seeds than it is for the old standard human. In the old standard human, the field extends out about a foot, maybe a few inches more. But in Star Seeds, Star Kids, it extends out several yards, and if you use some dowsing rods and step away from the person some yards out and come at them with a pair of dowsing rods pointed horizontal and parallel, pointed towards the person, they will splay out to right angle when they reach the edge of the person's field. You can just see that for yourself, and it's very clear that this stuff is real for people who like science, because you know, what is that that's moving steel sideways in apparent thin air? It's the person's bioelectric field. And the fact that for Starseed, Star Kids, this field extends out yards more than it does for a standard human makes it very clear that this is one of the areas in which you can actually feel and see for yourself and measure the difference in the, let's say, the energetic makeup of the Starseed Kids and Star Seeds versus the old regular human.
Let's go to the phones. Here we go. International Line, welcome to the program. Hi there.
Is this me?
Yes, sir. Hi.
Yeah, how are you guys?
Good.
Yeah, good. I'm a member of the Star Kids Hangout, actually, and so I've been following Dr. Boylan's work and just interested in the whole thing and loving it, you know, for a year. Anyways, I'd like to ask a quick question. What would you say would be the best way for, you know, Star Kids with their abilities and their missions and everything to keep faith throughout times where, you know, everything around them is against what they're going for. You know what I mean? Like, with, let's say you live in a family where everybody's like the cabal, you know. I mean, what would you say would be the best way to, again, keep the faith and just keep your, you know, the purity of mission, I would say. What would you think?
Very good question. Glad you called in. I think people need to hear from Star Kids and see that you guys are real. You don't have green horns. You ask intelligent questions, and you've got real social and emotional concerns. This is real society we're all living in, and it's not easy for those that are put together a little bit differently to find acceptance and understanding. Just because you're a Star Kid doesn't mean that your parents are guaranteed to be aware of this phenomenon, and while some Star Kids have the fortunate circumstance of their parents have been contacted and know about it and understand what's going on and encourage their child, others operate in a family environment where the parents are unaware, maybe even hostile to the suggestion that UFOs are real or star visitors are contacting Earth. One of the things you're doing already right is, of course, contacting other Star Kids and in the Star Kids Hangout online group. There's a chance to talk with other Star Kids, find out you're not the only one, and compare notes and compare experiences, I would also encourage you to look around in your local society. If you're still in school, your schoolmates, or if you're on a job, your job mates, neighbors, look for people who are showing some signs of being star kids or star seeds, you know, the high intelligence, some psychic abilities. You might even make yourself a little pair of dowsing rods, and when they're not looking, douse their field and stepping away from a little bit and seeing if they are. And starting to gently raise the question of, gee, there's more people coming out these days talking about abilities that we used to think were very strange. You know, like Alison Dubois on the Medium show on television, and many programs now are featuring people with what used to be called paranormal abilities, but they're getting to be more and more normal. And kind of raising the bar gradually of, gee, there seem to be a lot more people like that, and gee, it's happening too fast to just be evolution, and why do you think, where does that come from? What do you think the explanation for that is? And a person doesn't say, you might say, well, I've heard from various sources that, you know, some of the star people are contacting folks, and the results of this contact when they leave are these people functioning at a little higher level. And see what people do with that if they don't look at you too strangely and say, you'll be surprised. And a lot of people say, well, go on. I've always kind of wondered about this. And then you've got an opening, and maybe make a new friend, and maybe help somebody come out of the closet, too, that you can have as company, so you're not feeling quite so isolated.
Thank you.
Let me ask you a question, too. How did you know you were a star child?
Yeah, it's interesting. I actually was listening to the show when Dr. Boylan was on this past July, actually, and heard just the signs of a star kid and just realized, wow, you know, I'm, like, matching a few of those, and took the test and scored, like, 30 or something out of I don't know how many. And anyways, yeah, I realized and emailed Dr. Boylan after that. And but, yeah, it was just the general stuff, like the electric field is definitely a thing. And let's see what else. It just psychic abilities, like, you know, I thought they were sort of visions or imaginations, but of sort of alien contact. And then I started getting sort of realizations and actual good philosophy and information from them. And so, you know, stuff like that I just connected with immediately when I heard of Dr. Boylan on the show. So, yeah, it was very cool.
Okay, great. Appreciate you being on the program.
Yeah,
and like you said, Richard, there are many of them out there, huh?
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you, if the gentleman's still listening, our young star kid, one more thing. If you're walking along and you see somebody ahead of you go under one of those orange sodium vapor streetlights and it goes out, bingo, you got one.
Really? Because that happens to a lot of people.
Yeah. There are a lot of star seeds out there.
I would at least say 59% of them.
Voila. So that's one way a person can kind of decloset himself without even meaning to.
East of the Rockies.
So watch for that, and bingo, you've got another one.
You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Take it away.
Yes, sir. How are you doing tonight?
Good.
Good. I have a couple quick questions for you. One, I was wondering, he was indicating that he was getting some advisory stuff from Golden Eagle, and I was under the impression that a lot of the Native American groups use chemicals as a form of enhancement to achieve that inner type of awareness. Some of them use peyote and others use other things. One question I had was, is he used some sort of chemical enhancement to achieve that? I'm speaking strictly from an open-minded point of view.
Okay.
Second, another question was, what would happen, in his opinion, if the Star Council was adhering to, say, something of the consequence of one of your guests the other night that called for a 90% reduction in the human's population to make it so the Earth actually survived, and how that would actually go over, should that be some bad news. And three, wondering exactly how the groups, the world's organized religions, being that most of them are very fanatical, how he thinks that they would react to any forthcoming, such a dramatic revelation as this information would be.
Okay, we can take the first one first, and that is any mood-altering drugs or anything in order to get this telepathy from them?
No, that would be really verboten for the Lakota and Dakota Sioux spiritual traditions. What the gentleman's referring to is the Native American Church, which, of course, is a form of spirituality more often found among some of the southern tribes in the United States, southern, southwest desert tribes, but and somewhat elsewhere. But no, Golden Eagle does not use any chemical altering, not even alcohol. And his getting of information, coming in contact with Star Nations, is during sacred ceremonies, sweat lodge, and fasting and vision questing on in a remote place, and other sacred calling in ceremonies.
Richard, a professor out of Texas, is calling for the elimination of 90% of the world's population in order to keep this planet alive and going. I think the caller wanted to know what you think the reaction would have been from some of these members of the Star Nations.
Yes. They're not in favor of genocide, to put it mildly, and that's what it would take to get rid of 90% of the world's population.
I agree. Yeah.
What we need is a combination of environmental repair and social justice. We find out, you know, a lot of the world's population problems are caused by high reproduction rates, which are caused by poverty. Once people become affluent, they tend to have reproduction rates that are pretty close to just replacing the existing adult population. You know, two people have two kids, or even slightly less in some cases. So when we get social justice going and fairness of resources distributed across societies rather than the haves and the have-nots, we will go far towards solving the population pressure on the Earth, and then environmental restoration will help when the Star Visitor Zero Point Energy technology can be shared without the big oil people repressing it. We can get to a world where energy needs are met without any petroleum, no global warming, no pollution. Peoples can operate in an environment with much less environmental impact than now. The professor is doing his hand-wringing because of the way we're doing it now, with as many people as we got, and as polluting a society as we're operating in. Yes, it is putting too much pressure on Earth, but we don't have to do genocide. There are other ways to bring things into balance that fit justice and environmental sensitivity and clean energy.
Wild card, we've got a quick moment for you. Hi there.
Hi, this is Lurice in Fort Worth, listening on KLIF.
Sure, hi, Lurice.
And I want to know if Dr. Boylan knows of Sheldon Neidel. He has the Planetary Activation Organization, and he puts regular updates from the Star Nations on the internet that, you know, some of us have been reading for 4 or 5 years, and they say a lot of the same stuff, even to the point where they use the same terminology.
I do not know. Do you know him?
I've heard him speak at conferences. I personally am underwhelmed by Sheldon Neidel. I found him to be a very nimble picker up of things that others have put out, and lo and behold, it soon shows up on his website, etc., or in his talks. But I'm not here to throw rocks at people. I will just leave it at I find myself underwhelmed at that, and wouldn't personally count it among the sources that I would pay a lot of attention to.
Okay, Richard, we are rapidly running out of time, and I want to thank you for being on the program. And I got to tell you, it is absolutely stunning and fascinating. Had I not known you over the years and your credentials, I'd say, Oh, let's listen to this. But this is very strange and unusual. And I got to believe when this information came to you, you were pretty perplexed as well, weren't you?
Absolutely. It's only by the corroboration over time and putting it to tests and seeing the corroboration from other sources that I've come to really get settled within it myself, because, you know, it's a total revision of what we understand about recent history, and but it makes wonderful sense, and a lot of pieces fall into place once you put this piece in the middle of the puzzle.
Absolutely. Richard, again, thank you for being on Coast to Coast.
George,
appreciate
you're
you
wonderful host, as always. It's my pleasure.
All right, you go get some sleep. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. We've got a stunning series of programs for you this week. Until then, be safe, everyone.